realfaith.org.au.
At this time, Tanya was yelling for help and got up on my feet, stepped across, grabbed the gun, pulled it away from him, and I turned to walk away with it. And there was a lady or a young girl underneath the desk, came across, took it from me, and I turned around then to go back and help Tani, and it was at that stage I fell in a heap.
This is a warning for parents that due to the adult themes being discussed in today's program, it is not recommended for young listeners. Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
And today we have part two of our conversation with Frank Carmody discussing the events of the 8th of December, 1987, when a troubled young man named Frank Vickovic walked into the Australia Post head office in Melbourne and committed what came to be known as the Queen Street Massacre. 8 people were killed and 5 were injured. One of those injured was our guest today, Frank Carmody, who has been sharing with us the events of that day. As we heard last time, Frank Vickovic initially went to the 5th floor with a sawn-off rifle to kill a former friend of his. However, his friend managed to escape, and then he killed another young office worker. He then went to the 12th floor and killed 3 more people before heading down to the 11th floor, where Frank Carmody and his colleagues were working. And parents, we just want to warn you before we get started that Frank will be recounting the events of that day, so today's conversation is not appropriate for young listeners.
Vickovic then went down the stairs and came out on the 11th floor, which is where I was. He saw a person through the right door, because you'd come down, doors off to the left, doors off to the right, and he headed in that way. Once he got in there, there was an open floor plan divided into 2 big rooms, and there was a gentleman there. His name is Michael. So Vickovic came up to him, and we were on the other side of the wall. We then heard this bang. We were still sort of, we knew it was a gun. We were unaware what was going on. And so we were just ducked down behind the desks in that corner where we were looking out the window.
And you heard somebody getting murdered in front of you.
Yeah. So then you could hear him come through the door and yelling out, screaming. He would scream out about the police, where are the police, why don't they come? And then he'd go into a sort of a quiet spell where he'd say, why doesn't anyone love me? And then he'd go bang, bang, bang again and start screaming. And it was at that time that his attention was diverted to us in the corner. I think he'd seen one of us. So you could then got the sense that, yeah, he was coming towards us. So as a Christian, you immediately lock into God. You could hear some of the others praying. You lock into God. You're asking him help, asking him for direction. What do I do here, Lord? And he's coming at us, and trying to think of what to do and asking the Lord to show me what to do. So it was at that time, he had this gun that had a problem. It used to jam every now and then. We didn't know that, of course, but he says, this gun is jamming. So I thought, this is it. I got to get up. So I jumped up from behind.
Oh, so you're thinking, this is my chance.
This is my chance, yeah.
Otherwise, all this murdering is just going to continue.
Yeah. We're all dead. So I jumped up, and when I got up, he spun around with the gun. I saw the barrel facing me, and I ducked down quickly, and he shot me through the back. It went down through me.
Oh, actually, right through you?
Yeah. I felt it go through me. It didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt?
No, it was like a burning sensation. Yeah. So, yeah, that was that. I hadn't known, but he, when he was coming towards us, he must have been shooting through the front of the desk because there was a couple of girls underneath the desk. One of them was dead. One of them was wounded badly. And I had a wound through the head here and a couple on the shoulder.
So how many times did he shoot at you?
He shot at us a lot, but he got me sort of 5 times. But most of them were just sort of flesh wounds, you know.
Except for the one through your back.
Except for the one through the back. And this one sort of went through the head and sort of left a part like that.
So you actually were hit in the head?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not?
Not badly, mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a lot of blood going on. So once he shot me, then he, my colleague Tony was hiding behind the door of a cabinet. So he had, when Vicovic was coming towards him, he had pulled the door open and was standing behind it, and it showed, the bottom part of his legs was showing.
Oh, boy.
And Vicovic was walking towards us in the corner, so he was looking towards us over in the corner and not looking at Tony at all. So he walked up, and he then turned his back on, after he had shot me, turned his back on Tony to shoot the other people in that corner, because there was probably about 6-7 people in that corner, maybe more, maybe 8.
So at this point, if I'm understanding correctly, Tony, hiding behind the open door of the cabinet,
yeah,
was behind Frank Vicovic.
That's right. Frank Vicovic was facing us, away from him.
So somehow he had gone past Tony.
Yeah, didn't notice him at all. So he was about to shoot. Tony then jumped on him.
So from behind.
From behind, jumped on him from behind, grabbed him, had him around the waist, and that pushed him down. So they were rolling on the floor. Vicovic was getting away from me. He had rolled over on top of him and had the gun out, straight out the front. At this time, Tony was yelling for help, and I pushed myself up thinking, you know, I'm not too sure. Here's blood everywhere, but I felt really pumped and got up on my feet, stepped across, grabbed the gun, pulled it away from him. Then I thought, I felt like I was getting a bit weaker. I thought, I'll get the gun away, and I turned to walk away with it. And there was a lady or a young girl underneath the desk came across, took it from me, and I said, get it out of here, for goodness sake, get it out of here. So she took it out and put it in the fridge, put it on ice, so to speak.
Mm. Mm.
And I turned around then to go back and help Tony, and it was at that stage I fell in a heap.
Yeah. So the blood loss and everything.
The blood loss, everything.
Just got to you.
Got me.
But is that all you remember?
I managed to see a Vicovic on his belly, sort of bellying himself across to a broken window that had been broken by one of his shots. And Tony was trying to hold onto his legs.
Mm-hmm.
There was another guy there who'd been shot, Don. He was trying to hold onto them both. And the guy got away and just kicked himself out the window and fell 11 floors.
So Frank Vicovic,
yeah,
who set out on a suicide mission,
yeah,
at that point, not having his gun, just decided to jump out the broken window.
Yeah, just out the window. Yeah, once he lost that gun, he seemed to lose all his power, and he just was like a frightened mess trying to get out that window. Yeah.
So that was the end of his tragic life.
Yes. And I must say that I felt relieved when he went out the window.
Oh, of course he was.
He couldn't
putting
do any,
you through all that.
Couldn't do any more harm.
Mm.
Yeah. So, so I was there. It probably seemed to take forever for the police and the ambulance to get there, but it was probably only a few minutes.
So you were still conscious then?
So I was still conscious, yep. Yep. I could hear Tony running around yelling, you know, where is everybody? Don't die, Frank. He came across to me. Don't die, Frank. So I was, thinking, what's going to happen? You sort of imagine the police bursting into the room. And so they did get there eventually, and apparently there was a couple, I think there was three policemen, actually sort of defied the command, the commanding officers that were saying, you know, just wait. They said, no, we've got to go up. So they came up and they found that there wasn't any more than one.
Oh, because they had no idea if it was multiple shooters or what was going on.
Yeah, they didn't know. Yeah,
but they decided to come up regardless.
Yeah, regardless, which was great. And then, so they then allowed the ambulance people in. And, he put the hand on my shoulder and said, oh, you'll be all right. You'll be all right, mate.
Who said that?
The ambulance guy.
So that was reassuring?
That was reassuring, yeah.
Because you weren't probably looking too flash hot at the time.
No, I probably wasn't.
Our guest today is once again Frank Carmody, who's been sharing with us the events of the 8th of December, 1987, that have come to be known as the Queen Street Massacre. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how Frank's faith has grown since the traumatic events of that day. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. Today we've been hearing part two of our conversation with Frank Carmody, relating to us the events of the 8th of December, 1987, which have come to be known as the Queen Street Massacre. Before the break, we heard how Frank, along with his co-worker Tony, managed to wrestle the rifle away from the gunman. Both men were awarded Australia's second highest bravery decoration, the Star of Courage. Next, we'll find out how God has helped Frank to heal from the traumatic events of that day.
So from there on, it was like in the ambulance, and it was just like a TV show. You're in a show.
Yeah,
it's
just
unbelievable.
Instead of watching it, you're
in it. Surreal. Look, the Lord watched over me, because when I took the gun away, there were a number of people shot and killed just in that little area there.
Mm-hmm.
I turned, and I would have been looking at them. I turned to hand it to the other girl. I don't remember a thing. The only thing I remember is seeing the gun, taking it, turning, but that turning section is just a blank. You know? So the Lord was there, watching over me.
What do you mean?
Well, I should have seen these people that were dead.
Oh, I see.
And I should have seen, you know, the mess that they were in and the horror that they were in, but I don't remember it. I didn't remember it.
So the Lord protected you from seeing such a horrendous, horrific sight.
Yeah. And then after...
But now just going back, what can you account for your being able to get up and wrestle the rifle away, even though you're hit five times?
Well, I mean, the only thing I can account for that is that I was praying for help. I was praying for God's assistance. I was praying for direction. And he's the only one that could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it myself. So, you know, I praise him every day for that.
Amen. Because, as you just shared, if he wasn't stopped,
yeah,
wasn't going to stop.
That's right. He wasn't going to stop. Yeah, absolutely.
So the actions of Tony and yourself and others saved lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, further lives. Yeah. So, yeah, I was then in the hospital for 2 weeks and I was at home for 3 months. And in that time, there was lots of cards and so forth, and they were all saying that we're praying for you. We're praying for both mental and physical healing. And so Australia Post wanted me to go to see a psychiatrist. So I went along to one, and I didn't find it that helpful. And I didn't really feel, any problems at all.
Now, this is months later, after you've healed?
No, this is immediately after. While I was in the hospital, I saw a psychiatrist. But, there wasn't anything, really. And there'd just been so much prayer from family, friends, church. It was just like I had a calmness and a peace. I think the other thing, too, was being able to forgive Vic, because there's a lot of people that were in the incident that are still alive, are still very bitter.
Mm-hmm. Which would be quite understandable in human terms.
Yeah.
But what helped you forgive him?
I think seeing his background, going right into his background and how he was subject to a lot of this torment, I think that helped me a lot. And, I think the Lord gave me this thought, you've got to forgive him. And that's what I did. And, I haven't had any problems. Yeah.
Because, I would think if I went through something like that, there would be trauma. And who knows, nightmares, flashbacks.
No.
You've had none of that?
I've had none of that. No. There might be the occasional... Initially, there might have been the occasional backfire of a car, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like a gun.
Which would set you on edge.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very understandable, after everything you went through.
But the Lord's been good to me.
So really, he's helped you emotionally heal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And... You said that just recently you feel the Lord is leading you to share this story.
Yes.
With others. Like I saw you at a church breakfast and you share other places. Why share now?
I've when I was at work I was a bit of a go-getter, wanted to earn as much money as possible and so forth, but when this happened it stopped me in my tracks, and I was thinking more of family then, and...
Yeah, I would think something like this would really make you stop and think, what's life all about? What's important?
Yeah, that's true. So, I used to go to church and so forth before that, but since then, I've really become involved and have tried to get this... one-on-one with God. And
so your personal faith has grown.
Absolutely, personal faith has grown. And, spent all the time with my family, my kids.
Well, an inch or two, the bullet one way or the other.
Yeah, that's right, and I'd be gone. Hmm. Yeah, you're right, yeah. So I've decided to make myself available for talking. Speaking at churches, speaking at schools with kids.
What do you want kids to know?
I think it's more the bullying side of it, and the fact that what your actions and your comments, how they can harm people or hurt people or affect people. And Vic makes a statement in his. Correspondence that he wrote, if you want to know me, just look for the lonely man in the crowd. And I think we've all seen those sort of lonely people in the mm-hmm. crowd.
Yep.
They may be different. They may physically be different, anything like that. And you don't have to be in a room by yourself to be lonely. You can be in a place where there's a lot of people, still be lonely. So, yeah, I think that's what I was wanted to get across to kids.
Yeah.
You know, be aware of people around you. Yeah.
And you can help people.
You can help people.
Who might be going
far
off the beaten path and into destructive behavior.
Yeah.
You can play a part in helping them not go that direction.
That's right. Yeah.
Of course, there's mental illness and all that as well, but being bullied and having mental illness, that's going to exacerbate the situation.
The whole thing. Yeah. Lots of times it just needs you to hold out your hand and just say, you know, hi, my name's Frank Carmody. What's yours? Just have a conversation mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what has the response been when you've been sharing?
It's been great. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done a lot of schools. I haven't done a lot, you know, anyway. But
glad I was there.
Yeah. But it's mainly been churches, and I've done two schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I intend to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to put myself out there. Hmm.
So if people are listening today say, yes, we'd like to have Frank share at their school or church or organization, they can contact us here at the program, and we can put them in contact with you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any final comments to wrap up our conversation today?
No, I'm just thankful to the Lord. I'll say one more thing. When I had the cancer, I was in hospital, of course, having chemo, and I said to my wife, bring us in some books, will you? And I was thinking more of books for earning more money and stuff like that sort of thing, you know. And she turns up with this book called Praise Avenue. I think the author was Don Gossett, his name. Anyway, it talked about praising God in everything, continuously praising God. And so I started reading this, and it has lifted my devotion of God and prayers to God to another level, whereby I can be in a situation where you would normally be worried about something, but I can hand it over to God, praise Him, continuously praise Him, and praise Him for things that haven't happened yet, but are going to happen, because I know He's involved.
So your faith has
absolutely.
Grown exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But then also I'm thinking, the Lord got you through a pretty horrendous experience.
Mm.
So true. You know that he's good.
He's good. And that's the
secret. And he'll get you through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have that belief and confidence that it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there's nothing that worries me now. I just hand it all over to Him. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
No worries. Thank you, Eric.
And as we said earlier, if you'd like to have Frank Carmody share at your group, your church, your organization, you can contact him through this program. So just contact us and we'll put you in contact with Frank. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Eric.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.